And in the kingdom of Jesus, it's not all about me. It's actually all about Jesus. And I get to be a part in that. God's kingdom is where his will is lived out. I don't know if you guys have seen those circles. I've shown them before. Here, I think they're really cool. Bill Bright draws these circles. So imagine your life as a circle. And inside of your life is a throne. And on that throne, he puts a little S, is self. And I am the king of my life. I'm on the throne. And Christ is outside of my life. And then at some point, hopefully, we have an encounter where we realize that Christ is offering us something so amazing. And we invite Christ into our life. And he comes into that circle of our life. But then we have even a daily, we have this choice. Will we let Jesus be on the throne? Or will we just let him be somewhere in our life, somewhere in the circle? And I like that picture. And as David and Isabel refer to our couch, the interesting thing about the throne is it's not a two-butt throne. It's a one-butt throne. And sometimes I'm like, well, how about I'll be king and you can be king? That sounds like a good deal. Like, you're in my life, but I want to sit on the throne and you can share it with me. But in God's kingdom, Jesus gets to be the king. And so I have this choice. Will I allow him to sit on the throne, or will I stay on the throne? And so we've been called to have a single-minded, sincere, pure devotion to God. I think I shared with you guys, I was really impressed with this word, sincere, learning what it meant. And so sincere, if you look at the roots of it, if you speak Spanish, it really helps. Sin means without. And then cera is wax. The word sincere comes from the roots which mean without wax. And so when someone was making a sculpture and they had a big piece of marble and they cut it out really carefully and then they accidentally cut off the ear, it's bad news. They could make a little ear out of wax and stick it on the sculpture. But it wouldn't be sincere. It would have wax. It wouldn't be sincera. It wouldn't be whole. And God is inviting us into this place of complete single-minded, where our mind is one unit. Sincere, without wax, pure devotion to God. A couple weeks ago, I was reading in 1 Corinthians 5, and in this section, Paul writes, "Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So I'm not going to go into all this festival and stuff. But what a cool picture of going from this place of malice and evil, and we're going to leave that leaven, we're going to leave that place, and go into one of sincerity and truth. And the study... I have this study Bible, and some of the words it defines. This is a really cool Greek word. That word for sincerity literally means judged by sunlight. And if you break it apart, it's actually, that Greek word is two words. And the word alludes to Oriental bazaars where pottery was displayed in dimly lit rooms. Unscrupulous merchants would patch cracked pottery or cover defects with wax. Intelligent buyers would hold up the pottery to the sun and judge its quality by the sunlight. They could see through. They could see the wax. So this Greek word is transparent, honest, genuine purity, manifest clarity, and unsullied innocence. It describes one who does not fear thorough examination of his motives and intents because he has nothing to hide. So when I think about this, being all in, like my entire life is subjugated to the throne of Jesus. I love him with my entire heart, mind, soul, strength. I am pure and sincere. And I look at that and I look at the kingdom I'm building. And is the energy I'm putting into is building something. And some of it's going to get burned up. And that which is in God's kingdom will not get burned up. And I look at it and I say, I'm double-minded. I am not without wax. I am not sincere. I want my heart to be all 100% given to the King, and yet I'm trying to get my butt on his throne. I'm trying to somehow hang on to the self, and what do I do with that? Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. And what do we do? I see. I'm double-minded. And at the worst, in the worst of that, this double-mindedness becomes a double life, which is a really dangerous place for us to be. You guys have probably, you know what that feels like, where it's not just part of my mind is divided, but my life. I have two lives, sometimes three lives. And God has invited us into one whole life. And so what do? Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I hunger and thirst for righteousness. I hunger and thirst to be that one spot, to be whole. And then I find I'm divided. And you may find that in your own life. I think to some extent we're all there. So what do we do? Do we hide it? Do we pretend? Well, let me take that extra life, that extra thoughts. I'm going to stuff it. I'm going to put it down in the darkness. Nobody knows that I have it. It's not there. And Jesus has a name for that. It's called acting, pretending. And the Greek word is hypocrite. I think at some level we all have that, that difference between where we want to be and where we're at, and then being whole and being divided. And God is inviting us to be, over the course of our lives, more and more whole. And sometimes I wish it could just happen, you know? It's like, how about just tomorrow I'll be whole and the rest of my life? All of my thoughts will be pure and for God, all of my motives. But instead, God has invited us into a process, and that process can be a little painful, melting out that wax, replacing it, taking the hardness of our heart and turning it back into flesh. So why don't we pray, and we're going to look at this a little bit. God, I thank you. I acknowledge that you are King. I want you to be King today, this moment. God, I give you all the distractions this morning, the distractions in each of our minds. Pray we'd come before you, just in wholeness, hungering and thirsting for you. I thank you that you receive us where we are at and that you take us forward. I praise you, God, that I don't have to pretend with you. You know every little piece of me, and you accept me. Give me the courage, Lord, to walk in the light with you. Teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to look at the kingdom of light. So Genesis, the very, very start of the Bible, starts with this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Okay, so again, there's a lot in there we could talk about. I just want to look at that. God created the light, and he separated it from darkness, and he said, this is good. Darkness is good. And if you look throughout the Bible, darkness and light are used a lot. And light refers to life. I walk in the light of life. Darkness refers to death. They returned to utter darkness. Light refers to goodness. It refers to revelation from God. It refers to truth. It refers to glory and splendor, to beauty. So the light is good, this place of light. God has invited us into a place of light. So as we look through Colossians, in Colossians 1:12 it says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Awesome. Okay, so a couple amazing things I see in there. The first thing is that our beginning point was actually in the kingdom of darkness. And there's a whole backstory about why we were born into that. But we started in darkness. We began our lives in control of the kingdom of darkness. It's just the world we inherited. And we were owned by the kingdom of darkness. And the second thing we see in there is that to get out of the kingdom of darkness was not by our power. We did not get ourselves out of the kingdom of darkness. In fact, we stayed there. Because in the kingdom of darkness, there's a big lie that says, you can have whatever you want. But it eats you alive. That's the fine print. It doesn't tell, they don't tell you that. You can be the king and stay in the darkness. But it'll destroy you and never actually work out and be full of disappointment. But that's the fine print. You got to read that really fast. But to get out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, it says he qualified us. Jesus qualified us for an inheritance. He did it. It says he rescued us. He brought us into the kingdom of light. He forgave us. And in that kingdom of darkness, it was like we were stuck there. And there was all of these charges against us, holding us there. Now you're stuck in the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus said, I'll just release those. I'm going to forgive all of those. You are no longer stuck to stay. You do not have to stay where you're at. Because the things that hold you where you're at have been forgiven. They have been released. If you want to stay there and pretend like they're still there, you can. But they have been lifted. They have been forgiven. They have been released. They have been set free. They have been redeemed. Redeemed means you buy something. You ransom it. He paid our ransom. And he released us. That is so awesome. Not by what we do. We have gone from being slaves to sin to freedom. We have gone from serving an evil master to serving a good master. We have gone from a place where we were concerned just with what we wanted and the end result was chaos to being on a good path with a good king, under whose authority there's blessings. Relationships work. There's hope beyond the disappointments of this life. So if we think about the kingdom of light, what does that mean to be in the kingdom of light? So light has some amazing powers. One of those things about light is that in the light, you can actually see things. You're aware of things. Things make sense. Things are brought into clarity. But also, in the light, things are exposed in us. Things are seen in us as well. And in the light, we receive love. We receive guidance. We receive. The light is a place of receiving so many things. Instead of the darkness is a place of hoarding things, of hiding things. And so God wants us to walk in the light. What does that look like? I find this passage in 1 John so powerful about the light. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So he says, if we walk in the light, what's going to happen? We're going to have fellowship with each other. We're actually going to have communion. We're actually going to be able to connect to each other. We're actually going to have true, deep relationship in the light. And what else happens when we walk in the light? He purifies us from our sin. He doesn't excuse it, but he actually cleanses it. He actually cleans it. The light purifies. If we claim to be without sin, so he's going to explain what it looks like to walk in the light or the darkness. If we claim to be without sin, I don't have sin. I don't actually think that, believe that. No, I don't have lust, pride, doubts. If we claim we don't, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, confess means to be honest about, if we're honest about our sins, he's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. All right, well, that takes it away. None of us are going to say, I don't have any sin in my life, because he just told us, now we're liars. Okay, I have sin in my life. I have things that are not where I would like them to be in my life. And why are we afraid to bring that into the light? It's amazing. I like in Genesis, we don't know a lot about Adam and Eve, but one of the things it tells us is that Adam and Eve were completely naked and they were unashamed. That was significant. They were totally naked, which makes sense. And then the cool thing is they didn't have any shame. And then they sinned. And what's the first thing they do? They get these leaves and make clothes. And then what's the next thing they do? They go, oh, God's coming. And they go and hide. Oh, whoa. God, we were naked and we didn't know what to do, so we were hiding. The scary thing about the light is that it exposes us. Whoa. And what's the fear of being exposed? I think it's two things. The first is that someone will see me, God will see me, and he won't like what he sees. What might he see in me? He's going to see brokenness. He's going to see weakness. And sometimes I don't want you guys to see my weaknesses because I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know what you might do with those. And there's that fear. And another thing, a reason we don't want to be exposed, and this reminds me of my kids. We found them with their cousins, underneath the table, eating cookies that they had stolen. And they're hiding under the table for two reasons, right? They're hiding there eating cookies. One, because they're might be embarrassed that they stole them. And two, they don't want to let go of the cookies. Right? It's like, I want to hide because, God, I want to keep this. And if I come out into the light, you might take it. And two of the amazing things I've found in my life is that whenever God sees the honest part of my life, he accepts me. Whenever the light shines on me, it brings warmth and comfort. I am afraid when I come in the light, I will experience rejection, and I have never, ever experienced rejection from God. Every single time that I have been honest with my stuff and brought it to God, I have always, always received warmth, embrace, love, forgiveness, kindness, purification, blessing. He has always wrapped his arms around me. And I was afraid he would reject me. And I have found any time that I come to God and say, I got this, okay, I'll open my hands. Any time he has taken something from me, he has given me something better. But I still hang on sometimes. But he always gives me something better. But there's a scary moment where it's gone. And so what I think what we ought to do is we ought to be people who are completely honest with God. We have a choice. We have a choice. Are we going to walk in the dark or are we going to walk in the light? I like how Mike Kimball said to me one time. He says, not everything that you believe is true. Some of what you believe is lies. But it all feels true. Your job is to figure out which one it is. And so in that place, that opportunity to be honest with God. God, I actually believe this about myself. I was believing this about myself today. Here it is. God, I was believing this about you. Do you know some of the things down deep that we believe about God are kind of broken? And we know the right answer, but we still have, we got this disconnect. We got this double-minded thing. God, I can't actually trust you. I know I can trust God. But sometimes like, and when we bring that to God, he shines the light on that. He purifies it. And the beautiful thing is then we can have fellowship. And so I think as a people, we should be people with whom it's safe for others to come into the light. That's easier to write than to become that. Have you ever had someone in your life that you felt was so safe you could share every little depth of your being with? That is one of the greatest gifts, if you have that, you could ever have in your life. A place where you don't have to pretend. A place where you can be one, whole. A place where someone will see the darkness in you and the light that's growing, that will see the wax and the places God is burning that wax out and replacing it. What a tremendous gift. I feel like I've had a couple of the most amazing gifts in my life. One is I had a dad who was really open with his life. Amazing gift. I feel like that was one of the most amazing gifts. And then I've had some people in my life that have been safe people to me where I could share the ugliest parts of me, some of the shame. Places where I could say, hey man, can I just let you know I was thinking this today? And as I look at the world and I feel like there's extra guns even pointed at me and Steve from the enemy. The enemy loves to take out pastors, loves to bring people into a double life, loves to drag them through the mud, loves to blow up churches with leaders who get exposed. And I feel like in my life, if I don't get it when it first starts, if I get to a place where I start living a huge double life, it's really hard to stop then. But if I can start and have a brother that I can just say, hey man, I was thinking this about myself today. Hey man, I was thinking this about this person today. And they go, wow, thank you for having the courage to share the truth with me. Let me pray for you. Now, I feel like that's one of the best safeguards I can have. And in all of our lives, and it's not just about being safe. Even more important than blowing up my life and other people's lives, I want to be wholehearted for God. I want a sincere life. I want to walk with Him as my true King. I want to become more and more and more a part of the light. I want His life to have more and more power in me. I want to go forward in that. Not just so I don't get embarrassed and make a fool of myself, but because He's my King and I love Him and I want to walk with Him wholeheartedly. The power of the light. Let me just, the light is so awesome. It's interesting that we fear it. But the light, in the light we do not stumble. We can walk. We can see where we're going. And in the light we can receive God's goodness. In a place of hiding we cannot receive, because we're closed off to it. Not that the light's not there, but we just can't receive it. We get closed off and cold. In the light, God continues to transform and purify us. He continues that work. He continues to refine us. He continues to transform our thinking, our motivations, our affections. Even just in the past few weeks, I was made aware of some of the unforgiveness in my soul. I was made aware of some of the things that I believe, and a place where I was hanging on to some anger because I thought I needed it. And to come to a place where it was like, first, I'm going to be honest. I'm not just going to try to hang on to this and put God in there too. But I'm going to come to a place where I'm going to let go of this. Okay, I'm going to let go of this. I'm going to let go of this belief that I need this anger to protect myself. I'm going to let go of this place that I don't want to forgive. I'm going to give it to you that I might receive the truth, that I can trust God, that I don't have to protect myself. He will. That I can completely release people and walk forward. And it is amazing. The darkness is driven out by the light. The darkness has no power over light. In the light, we have fellowship with each other. True fellowship. Not rejection, as we might fear. I know that has not always been our experiences. I have not always experienced that. And I'm sorry for you for those places that you did not experience that, where you were honest and it came back and it bit you. That is not what God intends in the family of God, in the kingdom of God. His intent that we would find acceptance from each other, and that the place that we would bring to each other is not, oh man, you're not perfect. That's not cool. It would be like, oh man, you're in denial. That's not cool. Which one's more dangerous? Being imperfect or being in denial? Well, being imperfect is reality. So it's actually not that dangerous. Doesn't mean we stay there. Doesn't mean we're not moving forward. But denial is a really scary place. Oh. In the light, the darkness is driven out. That's amazing. You can fill a room with darkness. You can fill it with double darkness. I don't know how you do that. And you put one little candle. Boom. The light has power over the darkness. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:18 through 19 says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." What a blessing to be in the light as we are shining brighter and brighter till the full light of the day when Christ returns and we find that we are completely in him. And the things that are of him will remain. And the things of the self will burn away. And what a great day. How great to be in his kingdom now, to be in the light. I'm going to pray and then, all right. Father God, thank you for the power of the light. God, I thank you that you have all truth. God, I pray for those places. That I have places that I want to hang on to. And I just tell you today, I want to let go of those. I want to let go of any places of darkness, whether that's in my beliefs or just in my actions that I hang on to. I want to let go of those. I acknowledge that those bring death and not life. And I receive afresh your light. God, give us the strength by your Spirit to walk in the light. Purify and refine us. I receive your truth about who you are and who you say I am. I acknowledge that your light is good. Thank you for receiving us. May we be a people who know how to walk with others in the brokenness of their lives and to model what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name.